بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبسند المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب النجار صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our last discussion, we discussed the interaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the close association of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the business sector. The interaction and association of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the people of the various trades and the various skills. We discussed how a butcher man invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a meal. We discussed the invite of a tailor to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also discussed how a woman weaved a cloth and gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In today's discussion, we shall discuss the interaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a carpenter. The interaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a perfumer, a person selling perfume. And the interaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a hajjam, a person that used to practice cupping. Or what we would say, in today's terms, people and members of the medical fraternity. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created individuals, human beings, and made them honorable. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam. We have honored human beings. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. We have created human beings in the best of forms, in the best of molds. We are living in this world of cause and effect. For anything to take place, there have to be a cause, and then the effect of that, the consequence of that will flow. If a person wishes to put up a building, then he will have to activate the service of an architect. He'll have to activate the service of a builder. He'll have to activate the service of a plumber. Activate the service of an electrician, tiler, designer. Then only the house will be built and the house will be complete. Every trade and every skill within its own self is most valuable. And every trade complements another trade. And therefore, whenever a person is engaged in any trade, as long as he is performing a skill, he is performing a trade, he is earning his income, such a person deserves respect and honor. And every trade complements a next trade. If a person happens to put up a building, most beautiful building, but there's no lights in that building. Then only we'll understand the value of an electrician. Or, if there is a water pipe has to burst, now we'll understand the value of a plumber. Otherwise, living there will become very miserable. Likewise, every other trade, whenever we experience any problem, any difficulty, and we want the service of the trade, that is only when we understand the value of that particular trade. It was a noble habit and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to interact with people of the various trades. And it was this interaction with the people of the various trades, with the people of the various skills, that interaction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with them, that induced in them the love for the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They felt that closeness with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because of that, now they use their trades, they use their skills to contribute towards the upliftment of the deen of Islam. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give jazai khair to our ulama of the past, who came in this country. They interacted with the masses, with the people of the various trades, with the various skills, and because of that close association, close interaction, that they were able to build the masajid, build the madrasas, build the various infrastructures of Islam, and that is one of the greatest successes, greatest causes of prosperity of the Muslims of South Africa. That close interaction where everybody took part in some cause of the establishment of deen in South Africa. Today we'll be discussing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's interaction with three persons. One is a carpenter. We shall first do the hadith and then we will translate the hadith. وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا خَلَّادِ بْنِ يَحْيَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْوَاحِدِ بْنِ أَيْمَنَ نَبِيهِ أن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه وأنه مجمعين أن امرأة من الأنصار قالت لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ألا أجعل لك شيئا تقعد عليه فإن لي غلاما نجارا قال إن شئت قال فعملت له المنبر فلما كان يوم الجمعة قعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر الذي صنع فصاحت النخلة التي كان يخطب عندها حتى كادت أن تنشق فنزل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى أخذها فضمها إليه فجعلت تئن أنين الصبي الذي يسكت حتى استقرت قال فبكت على ما كانت تسمع من الذكر. A very heart-rending incident. Before doing the translation of this narration, I want to give you a brief background. It was a noble habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Initially, in Madinatul Munawwara, in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to give the khutbah, he used to give a talk, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take support of a branch of a date tree. He would hold the branch of the date tree, and through that, he would give his talk and deliver his lectures to the sahaba. But a time came where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave that branch of the date tree. And then from this hadith we will understand the effect of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving the branch of the date tree. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi presents this narration on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that an Ansari woman, she said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, should I not make for you something on which you would sit? Instead of standing and giving a talk, you should rather sit on something like a platform on which you could sit and deliver your talks. For verily, I've got a slave who is a carpenter. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, in shi'ti, that if you want, then you may do so. Tell your carpenter to prepare a platform. فَعَمِلَتْ لَهُ الْمِمْبَرِ But that woman, she got that member of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built or manufactured through her carpenter. When it was a Friday, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on a member that was made for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment Nabi sat on a minbar, that branch of the date tree which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hold and take support while delivering the talk, that branch of the tree, it almost burst into two pieces, it almost split into two pieces. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descended from the minbar until he held that branch of the tree and he had embraced that branch of the tree. That branch of the tree, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on a minbar, that branch of the tree felt so grieved and affected with the parting of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the branch of the tree started crying like how a child would cry profusely, for which there was a need for the mother to silence the child. In the same way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held that branch of the tree and started silencing, petting the tree, trying to silence the tree because of the cry. In the other books of hadith, we understand that the Sahaba actually heard the tree crying as well. And the reason why it cried, قال فبكت على ما كانت تسمع من الذكر. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hold the branch of the tree, the branch used to feel honored that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving advices. It was a form of a zikr. But now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on a minbar and the branch of the tree felt grieved and saddened at that departure. This attitude of the hadith, attitude of this tree, it is a very thought-provoking point for us. When a tree felt sad at the parting of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a very short while, not far away, very nearby, the minbar was very close to it, but the tree cried, when the branch of the tree cried upon that, today we have reached such a state that leave aside being far away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we even far away from the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the importance of the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, in this hadith, we understand Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interaction with the carpenter, and among the Sahaba, there were also carpenters who provided the services to the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith, Babun fil attar wa bay'il misk. وبي قال حدثنا موسى ابن إسماعيل قال حدثنا عبد الواحد قال حدثنا أبو بردة ابن عبد الله سمعت أبا بردة ابن أبي موسى نبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء كمثل صاحب المسك وكير الحداد لا يعدمك من صاحب المسك إما أن تشتريه وإما تجد ريحه وكير الحداد يحرق بيتك أو ثوبك أو تجد منه ريحا خبيثا. This tarjumatul bab, subject matter is about a perfumer, a person selling perfume, and a person that will sell musk. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of a good colleague, the example of a good companion, and of a bad companion is like a person that deals with musk and the furnace of a person, a blacksmith. لا يعدمك من صاحب المسك. The person that sells musk, you would not be absent from him one of the three things. Either you would purchase the musk from him and you will enjoy the fragrance, or if you not purchase the musk from him, the fact that you entered the shop and you would enjoy the beautiful fragrance of the shop. And as far as the furnace of the blacksmith is concerned, just going around him, he may just burn your house, or he may burn your clothing, or if any one of those two don't happen, then you would perceive the bad smell that comes out of it. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presents this narration here to show that among the Sahaba, there were also attars, there were people that would sell musk. It is possible that Imam Bukhari did not find any narration in conformity to his conditions that would specifically show an incident of a Sahabi being an attar or selling musk. But he presented a hadith that is in relation to the subject matter. One point we understand in this hadith, where Nabi Karim Sallallahu speaks about a good companion and a bad companion. One hadith Nabi Sallallahu mentioned that Al-Mar'u ala deeni khalili falyanzur may yukhalil. A person is in a part on the part of his friend. The type of friend he has, that's a type of influence he would have on him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi advised, be very careful who you befriend. And in the context of business, if you associate with good business partners, people who are truthful, who are honest, then they will also encourage you to do trade and business the correct way, the Sharia compliant way. But if you interact with people who's always cheating, fraud, deception, you'll also be influenced with them and you'll also do the business the wrong way. And the last and the third topic, Babu Dhikri al-Hajjam. This is about a person that used to do cupping, removing the bad blood from the body. And this also encouraged in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, Hajama Abu Tayba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa amara lahu bi sa'im min tabar. Abu Tayba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practiced cupping of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Khaybar, there was a Jewish woman. She gave the forearm of a goat or a sheep to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and poisoned it. And the effect of that was, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to do cupping repeatedly to relieve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Abu Tayba did cupping for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even paid him, gave him one sa'ah. It is a measure. It is one sa'ah of dates for the service that he provided to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَمَرَ أَهْلَهُ أَن يُخَفِّفُوا مِنْ خَرَاجِهِ. Abu Tayba, he was a slave. He had to earn his money and he had to pay his master every day from his earnings. He complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his master has taxed a big amount of money on him. So he requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell his master to decrease the taxes on him. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to his masters, the people that owned him, to decrease the kharaj, decrease the taxes that was levied on him and make life easier from him, for him. From this we also understand a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is that you interact with people of the various trade and business, people of the various skills, and if anybody got any problem, worldly related problem, listen to them, help them, assist them, and try to relieve them from the problem. This is also a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three incidents we have done today of the relationship with a carpenter, perfumer, and a hajjam, person doing cupping, and in today's time we say they are dealing with people in the medical field. This was the medicine of that time, removing the bad blood from the body. Alhamdulillah, it is the fadl and the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that we have covered up about 21 lessons of this chapter of Islamic finance, business and economics for this year. Isha Salat is gone later, Fajr Salat is gone earlier, and the holidays are about to come. So we have decided to stop the lessons for a while, and inshallah, after the holidays, we will resume with the lessons and we'll continue with the lessons of Islamic finance, business and economics. One very important concluding remark on this. We are doing the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The purpose is to inculcate in us the love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you claim you love Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Then only Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will love you. Allah will forgive you. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is most merciful. The only way for us to get the love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah says, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. in the way, in the lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in the context of our discussions, in the business interactions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the people, that is a beautiful example for us. In one verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَاذَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That person who obeys Allah, obeys the Rasul of Allah, do whatever the Rasul of Allah told us to do, follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed that is a great success. In one hadith, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبْعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. You're not a perfect believer until your nafs is not subordinated to that which I have brought. The sunnah, my way of life, and the context of our discussion in business, economics, our iman will only be perfect and complete until we bring our muamalat and our dealing in conformity with the sunnah and the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةٍ شَهِيدٍ. That person who brings alive one sunnah of mine, at that time when there's corruption in my ummah, in the context of business and economics, when nobody is cared about doing the muamalat and business according to the sharia, and now, within such a harsh environment, we bring alive the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring alive the laws of Allah in the business sector, although it may be very difficult, the reward of it is equally great. The reward of it will be equivalent to the reward of 100 martyrs in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us all tawfiq and hidayat to practice on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever we have learned in these discourses, to implement it in our business sector, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make this discourse a means of our closeness to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a means of our najat and salvation in the qabr, in the akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.